Podcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey guys, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. This is the Fosters After Show, and tonight we're talking about the summer finale of season 3 called Lucky. We've got the gang here and a very special guest. It's Annika Marks, who plays Monty. Okay, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
We're happy to have you. Let's do some intros. Here. Thank you. Jeff Masters.
I'm Stephanie Georgie.
Annika Marks.
Hey, Anna Pritchard.
All right, so what do you guys think about the episode?
It was a lot.
It was really emotional.
Yeah, a lot of emotional changes. Every time, like, a scene changed, I was like, what now? We're going to go into this now? Yeah. Why is everything happening in this episode? It felt like so many topics and I couldn't handle it.
Yeah. I know. Usually, like, the show will, like, leave, like, a really dramatic scene for the ending, but I felt like we kept getting it, like, in the middle, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, of course, like, our happy homewrecker had her moment.
She had a moment.
Yeah, I think I've been so conflicted as of all the fans over the season because, like, Monty on the whole is really likable.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. You're welcome. I mean, it's not like a, like, crazy stalker girlfriend.
No. I mean, I think that's, like, the writing on this show is so great, right? Because they don't make, like, pure villains or, I mean, even your heroes in this show, they, like, consistently mess up and they mess up doing the same things over and over again. And
we're looking at Brandon, like, here.
Yeah, we're looking at you. But no, I think that's what's so great about the writing is that they're real people. And so Monty's not a villain. She's not a homewrecker. She's not, like, a seductress. She's a homewrecker. Wait, which of those do you think she is?
A homewrecker.
Oh, I thought you were going to say seductress.
Sorry. Oh, this is getting so awkward.
That too. Sorry.
Wait, I'm sorry. Do you guys actually think she's trying to be a homewrecker?
In moments, yes. Do you?
Yes. Okay, fine. I'll do the seductress only because from the beginning, Monty, like, she knew what she was doing, and she's that cute girl that got what she wanted, and she knew, like, where to come at from, where, like, what, forgive me, I swear English is my first language.
How to seduce her.
Yeah, but just, like, what angle to come out from.
That's so fun. I've never felt that way.
Really?
Her. No, I've always felt like Monty is at this point in her life where, like, she's one of those people who thought she knew exactly what she was doing, you know? She was, like, she has a fancy education.
Yeah.
She was married young, and she had big plans for her life, and, like, everything changed, and, like, she's in a new business, and she's with new people in a new place, and suddenly she's attracted to a woman for the first time, and I think I've always thought this was surprising more to Monty than to anybody else, that she's having these feelings.
That's fascinating, because, like, all of her life she's gotten her way, because she's a hard worker, she's smart.
Yeah, and she's done a very conventional thing,
yeah.
And so I think she's shocked by her own instincts.
Totally. Wait, sorry, I want to go back to just you two for a second, because when Monty in this episode said, "I'm not trying to break up your marriage," I believed her. Did you guys not? Do you think she was lying?
I don't think she's trying to break up the marriage, but I do think she's trying to be with Lena, and that might as well be the same thing, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. I think that had Lena, first of all, I love that
Annika's gonna burst.
So like, I love that you love your character though.
I love
that
her
cracks
so
me up
much.
Because the way she sees her, she's like, God, she's just such a good
girl. I love her so much. But I think that's part of what's complicated about this show is that actually she's kind of a hard person to not like.
Yeah.
Right? Well, and she's also really good friend.
Good friend. She's very level headed.
But see, right. I always think her being a good friend is actually her, like, kind
manipulative.
Of
manipulative.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
We love you, girl, but just you, not the other
you. I don't trust Monty. I'm sorry.
Well, it's good writing. It's good drama. It's good drama.
It's a terribly complicated character and situation.
Yes. I do think we're all the heroes of our own story, like, in real life.
Yes.
And then I'm sure we could find people who would say about all of us that we're not the hero. Like, I think that's part of life, is that from whatever perspective you're looking at it from, you know.
I do think, though, that had Lena said, "I felt something for her," that Monty would have, took it and ran with it.
So, I do absolutely feel for my, like, this episode, I did feel for her more because she is in love with Lena and she's in love with a married woman and it's the first woman that she's ever loved. And that's, I almost cursed. That sucks really, really bad. But I still, I just, you know, I don't feel like her intentions are completely with Steph in mind.
So obviously, Annika, you're on Monty's side. I do think, though, like, as an actress, like, that's probably the more interesting choice than to play, like, the seductress who's hitting on her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you ever want to play into the, you know, into the obvious pitfalls of your character, right? I mean,
and then
you know
it's just
you're playing a character who everybody's going to dislike. I think the challenge in it is to, like, see them from their own perspective, which people generally don't think that they're, you know, that they're trying to break up a marriage, even if there is a potential outcome that would be that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm conflicted because I'm a huge fan of the show. So, like, I'm so invested in that marriage. Like, so invested. And I think because of that, too, I've always known, like, they're not breaking up this marriage. Right. Like, everyone's always known that. So there's also a safety in being able to explore this relationship without the fear of, like, becoming a stepmom or something. Like, I have never for one second thought there was a version of this where Monty becomes their stepmom.
Where Monty moves in the house, right?
No. You know, I think it's so interesting, though, that you, like, are so in love with your character because I feel that that's the reason why we were receptive in a way where it's like, oh, she's that pretty girl that we just want to love to hate because... You know, you weren't thinking of that, but that it was that level of confidence in the fact that you thought it was a good person, so you were, so it came off. I think that's why we were also conflicted with your character, because we didn't know.
Well, that's
like,
it.
Was
that's
she being nice or she not being nice? And then Lena was just falling for you because you were just being you.
Yeah, well, that's a huge... I mean, I do think people sort of go through life, you know, in their own way, being authentic and genuine, and sometimes that can get you into, like, huge amounts of trouble, right? Without the intention to do something unlikable, you can wind up being unlikable, as Monty has shown us.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
What do you want for Monty's character in this whole thing?
Well, my favorite part of this, you know, this past, I guess, 3A, this past half season, has been just this idea that she's coming sort of later in life to being, you know, interested in women. And what that looks like. I think on a show that's so progressive and is putting out there all these different examples of sexuality and self-discovery and self-realization and all that stuff, Monty's an interesting thing to add into the mix. You know, someone who was sure she was straight and is discovering a little bit later that she's not. And maybe not that she's sure she's even gay, but she's not exactly sure what she is. And I think we tend to think that's something adolescents go through.
Right.
But I think Monty's story is, you know, relatable for a lot of people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I love, like, the show's commitment to, like, not labeling people's sexuality.
Yeah.
It's like letting Monty discover this.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just hope for her that she figures this out, that she becomes a more authentic version of herself.
I think it'd be really cool then, eventually, if there's, and I imagine there will be, that her and Steph get to have a conversation about that, because Steph came from the same thing. Like, she was married to Mike for so long and then fell in love with a woman. I think it'd be interesting, even though there's that connection between Lena and Monty, for Steph and Monty to discuss Monty's...
Because Steph ultimately can speak to her about it.
Yeah.
And I like that we knew it happened to Steph, but now we got to see how it happened.
Right.
Yes. I mean, obviously, but this is with a different person, but it does. And I feel like I know a lot of women who were married first and then you find out later because you were so accustomed to thinking that this is what it was and it felt right. It was comfortable.
Right.
But that's it.
Steph does have a gun. So...
Oh, yeah.
That's a great point.
I won't be speaking to him.
We'll see.
Okay, here's the thing, though. A Monty-Steph confrontation/dialogue would be intense. It wouldn't have to be a confrontation, just a discussion. And yet, without something really major like that happening, I don't know how Lena could stay at the school for much longer.
Yes.
Just when you're trying to save your marriage, you say, I'll get another job. Not now, but, like, I will look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I feel like, unfortunately, like, somebody's got to go.
But oddly, it does me, too. And I feel like normally in this situation, because we all know Lena and Steph will stay together, right? Like, that's just, we kind of know that.
Yeah.
But I feel like they have kept Monty around for so long that she has created, your character's, like, completely a part of the show. You know what I mean? That I feel like they have to create a full storyline for your character now.
without Lena and Steph. You know what I mean? Like a relation. I mean, I don't know. That's just
in my own like selfish desires. Like I really hope that that's the way they feel as well. But I don't know. I mean, if Monty doesn't serve the storyline moving forward, I mean, she has to help tell the storylines of these central characters.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I think I've gotten very lucky that she was able to help do that. And
yeah.
If they find a way to keep her doing that, I'll be very happy. But either way, I mean, this has been such a blast. It's
of
like,
course.
It's been an incredible thing to be part of.
Yeah, now, when they introduced Monty, you were just the principal, this new character.
Yes.
Did you have any inkling of where they were taking her?
No.
Really?
Oh, nice.
No, I auditioned and I was like, okay, I'm a principal. Like, I'll hold board meetings, whatever principal, I'll do principal things. Like, I had no idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it unraveled very slowly. And it was nice because I think it gave Sherry and I time to develop a friendship and there wasn't a whole bunch of pressure put on us.
I think so too, because then later I feel like as an audience we did begin to feel a bit of the tension, which made us uncomfortable and like not like you because we're like, wait a second, what's going on here?
Wait, but I remember us saying on the very first episode you were in that
it was me.
Yes,
which I
my fault. I swear to God.
Yeah,
we had the footage. I'm kidding. But it's online. I see some kind of like chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I asked if Monty was gay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Which I think could easily be the chemistry or the way that you kind of put off or just whatever it was between you and Sherry. I think that maybe it was you guys who developed that storyline.
Well, look, she's gorgeous. So, I mean, I'm sorry. That was probably me flirting with Sherry because she's gorgeous. Like, have you guys seen her? It's ridiculous.
Yes.
So, there's that.
Yeah. I mean, she's also a new principal. She wants to be liked by the Spice principal. Mm-hmm. But, I'm just saying, like, I have a crystal ball and I'm reading it. Guys, we're going to move on to the rest of the episode. But as always, you can comment on YouTube, on iTunes. You can tweet at us using the hashtag ABTVFosters. And we love continuing the discussion all week. Let's talk about the big news. Callie has officially been adopted.
Oh, my gosh.
Finally.
Oh, my gosh.
Why are you upset?
I did not know I was going to be so emotional. And I was emotional for her. One, because of her and Brandon, and that was really weird. But then I finally understand all of you who are not Brawley fans and how much you guys wanted her to be in the family. Like, ooh, I almost feel like I'm going to cry. Okay, hold on. No, but when she got adopted, I get it. She's like, no, she just wanted a family. Like, so much to the point where I thought they were going to have a moment where they looked at each other. She was just so caught up in the, you know, looking at holding her sister and her mom's. And it was just sad because at the end of the day, she's just a kid. And regardless of this little romance that built, you just want a family and it's over. She's adopted. She has to worry about nothing anymore because she has these people taking care of her.
Yeah. And people who love her and are phenomenal parents. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It just gave me anxiety. I thought it was beautiful too. I really, really did. And I was really stoked for her. And obviously I'm a crazy Brawley fan and I think that's why it gives me anxiety because that storyline's not going to go away. Mm-hmm. So now we've created a new issue because she's actually fully part of the family now. And I know that they're going to still keep that whole Brandon Callie romance. So I don't know. I just think it's going to become messy.
I don't know. I don't. Do you, is that like what TV shows have to do? Is that the rules that they like create these romances and like season one, you have to like cheer for it every season?
Kinda.
No, but
I just could see them like putting it down.
Do you think that sex scene was the last hurrah, like the goodbye?
Exactly.
No, but I'm wondering because I'm thinking, I thought the same. I'm like, well, do we just have to accept the fact that Brawley won't be together and that was their last time?
I think it is because she, like you said, is committed to the family.
Yes.
And she doesn't want to mess that up.
They love each other. They love each other.
Like
there's
best,
no way.
But what if it becomes like best friends where I feel like there are people who have like have been close to their best friends and may have slept together in the past, but then they knew that it was like that it wasn't more.
But
and
they
even though they had that moment,
that
it didn't mean anything.
I don't know. Callie is not smart about everything, but about this, I could see her consciously saying there'll be no more.
Yeah.
And Brandon says, okay, you're right. And they date other people.
They both
and
agree.
Hopefully as fans, we fall in love with these new relationships.
Yeah, I hope so too. But eventually there's going to be a time when it, like the tension continues to build up and they do it again.
It's tricky territory. Annika, do you have any feelings about Brawley?
I, well, yes. but there's this great line. I can't remember what episode it was, but Rita says something to Callie. But with the whole AJ mess, Rita mm-hmm. says something to Callie about, like, you know, you keep repeating the same patterns. Oh, mm-hmm. she says that thing about the cake, about yeah. why did I yes. eat the cake? And it's because it was a pattern.
Yeah.
And it was such a brilliant line, because I feel like it shined a light on something about Callie for Callie that is really significant. And here she is again, and she's done it again. And I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I think these writers are pretty brave, and they may be willing to, like, have dipped a toe into this same, you know, pattern again and make her more, you know, braver than that and make her choose something different. Like, I can totally see a version of this where they don't go back to it. Although I have no idea.
Right.
Oh, man. But you see, but that makes sense, like you said, because at the end of the day,
she's evolving.
Right. And what if that's the reason why she found that love within Brandon, because while she was through the foster system, that's all she had was siblings.
This is what she's been doing.
Exactly.
And I feel like there's something about actually being, like, in the very end, I was, like, crying like a baby last night. But in the very end of this, like, she looked like a little kid to me.
Yeah, that's my point.
She looked, like, her face looked like a little kid to me. Like, there was something about her where you thought, like, oh, she's been living like an adult, and now she gets to be a kid.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
I'm so, such a pansy. Oh my god!
No, I have, like, my whole body is, like, I've chilled.
I
everywhere.
See them from here.
I'm like a freak about this show.
You're right, and that's so beautiful that you said that's that true. Because I think, oh man, and it made me mad because then I thought about Jeffrey, where I was like, oh, he's gonna be happy because you can almost be comfortable with the fact that Bradley won't be together because they had their last moment. She finally got adopted, and it was so. Oh man, it was just so projective, even through the screen, that everyone knew, like, this is what it was supposed to be. A family is so important. And like you said, she just became a kid again, finally.
Also, Callie has kind of been a, like, protagonist in the show against the family, or alongside the family, because she's been on her own. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, fighting different struggles that the family's fighting too. So now that she's part of the family, I think that she's going to, like, blend in a lot more. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's going to be, like, a less Callie-focused show, if that makes sense. Because it's been, like, the family and Callie and Jude. Jude was, like, adopted in already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so going back to the sex scene that the show started out on today, I just thought it was so amazing. One, it makes me uncomfortable seeing, like, teenagers in bed naked. Yeah. But beyond that, like, there was such, like, there can be, like, a shame around that for, like, teenagers. Like, they're putting their clothes on. This is a mistake. It was nice to see them, like, talking, whispering in bed.
Yeah, it was cute.
And I mean, like, those moments. I'm not Brawley still. I've always not been Brawley because I
never
support
understand.
Callie and the family more.
Oh, I don't. I understand. I lied. I don't understand.
But you're right, because those were such precious moments, especially because they thought that they could have that.
Yeah.
I just like Robert, too. I feel like I know that she wants to be and is a part of the Fosters, and it makes sense because she is a part of that family, but, like, she would have been a part of the family regardless. Like, whether she got adopted or not. And she has a dad, and I feel like it still would have been a great thing for them to capitalize on that relationship, and I still hope that they do, that I'm like, did we do this too soon?
That being said, though, I don't know. I think your love of Robert Quinn is calling you.
I love him.
Oh, you
so
do?
I love See, I don't have the all the information. I don't have all the information. Okay.
Not to be rude at all, but you're obsessed with that actor.
I love Kurt Smith.
Yeah. No, because he's amazing.
He is.
Have you guys, like, hang out with him?
Yeah. No, he's wonderful. He's amazing. Oh, my God. You're really jealous.
Him.
You guys should have him on.
I'm working on it. I know a mutual friend of his who was on Dawson's Creek with him. They pledged together, so I'm working on it.
So great.
No, he's the most beautiful thing ever. Dawson's Creek. No. I mean, I share the love with him.
I love that you love him so much. That's so awesome. He's awesome. He's fantastic. But yes, I think he's probably coloring your.
He's graying so well.
No, not at all.
He's graying so well.
So well.
He is. He's the silver fox that we all want.
In general, men gray well.
They do. But I think that Robert Quinn's character, regardless, is amazing because they didn't make him the weird, random, abusive biological father. They made him, like, almost a victim also in that entire situation. Yeah. And I think that's the reason why it was great. However, even though the whole time I rooted for Callie just being with her dad, now that she was adopted into that family and the way Stephanie got so emotional, Lena got so emotional, and Jude and both Mariana, I feel like that is more complete. But then it just makes me feel bad because my first thought was just, well, I guess she's going to have her cake and eat it too. But that's not fair.
And there's consequences.
Exactly. And life doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
No!
Oh,
Yeah. So you're a Brawley fan and you're not.
I'm not only because it's like brother sister. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I wanted her in the family more than I want her with Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now I got my way.
Cool.
Were you always on Team Brawley?
No, I've gone back and forth. No, I don't think I've always felt one way or the other. I think I've mostly felt like Callie and Jude needed to be in the same house.
Yeah.
That has seemed above everything really important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From my perspective. Like somehow the idea that Jude was like part of the family so quickly and she wasn't felt like it was
incomplete.
And it was also validating something in Callie that thought she wasn't lovable,
yeah,
or she wasn't, you know, there was something wrong with her.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that was just, that did a lot of damage somehow. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's good that she's just part of the family.
Yeah. May I bring up how awesome it was to hear what the judge had to say to her?
Yes.
That was amazing. I think that's the reason why it was so perfect for her to be adopted by the family, because he even recognized it, and finally someone didn't just, you know, brush off some foster kid saying some nonsense. And because she stuck to her word, I couldn't help but think the whole time that's what her mom's taught her, even though that's not her mom's, but it's one of those things. It's what a household and it's what a family can embed in a child when it comes to molding someone and how they're going to be as an adult. They had a lot of that influence, regardless of them wanting her to be quiet so that she could be adopted. It's still, they supported that of her. So that's why she was able to say it. And then she was rewarded for it. Mm-hmm. And then got adopted.
Yeah. Also, like, he's a judge and legal system. He can't hold that against Callie and, like, not give her a good family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up Brawley, I think that the show and the producers and the writers have always like looked at who's in the show via small roles, like Monty's original casting, Daphne, like Charinda. Like,
oh, yeah.
We see people, and I feel like I have no facts for this, but I feel like they like them and they want to use them, and or they see the fans' response to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I could see them trying out different partners for Callie and Brandon. And if we freak out over a new relationship, then I feel like they'll like take that and run with it.
Yeah.
Going back to how Monty said that it was originally just for the principal, I think what if they're being smart about it, because the Fosters is so focused on being a realistic show.
Yeah.
I think they're allowing the relationships to develop, see what they see, and then what would happen in real life. Like, mm-hmm. What happens in every day, someone is new, then what happens? Like, it was good that they didn't have this whole storyline for you. Rather, let's just have this principal come in, and then what would happen in real life? Let's see what they're like inside. And
they're pretty brilliant. They sit back, I think, and watch the dynamics, you know, naturally play out sort of organically, like you're saying. And you do, I think you look at characters like Kerr's character or Anna. I mean, that might be the best example.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what their intentions were for her at the beginning, but it couldn't have been this. Like, they've allowed her to have such a full life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, shocking. Yeah.
And she's somebody who was so easy to hate. And she's become so hard not to love. And I feel like that's true. They do this all the time. They cast really interesting actors, I think, generally. And then they allow them to do great stuff. They, like, play with, you know, what they're capable of. It's they're really
smart. That's
really
awesome.
Yeah.
That's
but
amazing.
But both Joanna and Peter were actors when they started. And I feel like you can see that in the way they work with actors and allow them to play.
Yeah.
They're great. They're the best.
That's awesome.
I feel like they just recognize chemistry, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, even without you knowing, like, there was a chemistry that I saw.
Right.
I don't mean, like, too much. I was a chemistry that existed between Monty and Lena. And even if in the very beginning it wasn't sexual, they picked up that this could easily become that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? It was great.
I agree 100% that they recognize the chemistry.
So, and then just to finish out the Monty storyline, that was like the impetus for that amazing scene between Steph and Lena in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So good. Steph said, someone doesn't just fall in love, you know, without there being some type of a reciprocation or, you know, something going on between you, giving her something, leading her on, being nice. And I think that's what was so hurtful. But at the same time, their argument was so confusing to me. Mm-hmm. Because Stephanie surprised me, and I applaud her for not being stubborn and not letting this ruin everything. She was upset for a moment, but then we see later, it's just over. Is she just okay with it? No?
It was like post-mammogram. She like, you know, this like, even though she didn't have cancer, this like near life and death thing.
Death experience, right?
Like, made her realize what she
And she just needed her, like, it didn't matter no matter what at the end of the day.
Yeah, yes.
That's what I was trying to... I didn't know how to read it.
Well,
I was...
because also nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't, no one acted on it, even mm-hmm. though there was a small betrayal and, like, the lies. But are you saying you were confused by their conversation or the outcome?
The outcome.
Oh, I see.
Which, but you just explained it. It was being close to, I guess, a life or death experience, and then her realizing that, I don't want to hold this grudge, because what if I did have the cancer? I needed you.
That's what I got from it.
Okay, yeah.
That, like, wow, I might have cancer. I don't want to go out without my wife. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think?
I don't know. I just kind of, I feel like the conversations and that storyline is not dead. Like, I feel like it'll be revisited and there will be more conversations about it and issues with Monty. But I feel like when they fought in the bedroom, they were just, Steph was so high on emotions and how she felt, and she needed to say all of those things. But I don't think there was a moment where it wasn't like, Steph does not love Lena. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It just, like, so many emotions, and she wanted to say all of those things and felt all those things, but she said them and they were all out on the table and mm-hmm. done. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I just felt like she said everything she needed to say, and what more can you say besides tell them that you still love them? You know right. what I mean?
And I love her mm-hmm. because I think she also had to recognize that she was obsessed. She's like, man, how did I not see me put Lena in this position?
Yeah.
Because that's not really Lena's character. Lena's always been the one that was completely in love with Stephanie.
Right.
You know, wanted to marry her, wanted to have that commitment. And so for Steph not to have seen that, and for Lena to have been put in that situation, I think was really hurtful for her too. And I think she was a bigger person in recognizing that and allowing that make it easier for her to be apologetic for towards Lena.
Yeah.
I feel like they've been walking around this whole season with their defenses up. Like, yeah. they've just been quick to hold on to grudges and bring them up later. And they've been doing all sorts of things people make mistakes of in relationships, right? And
right.
I feel like Steph's reaction in that fight, that first thing that she sort of says about, you know, I can't always put you first. Okay, yes. I'm working this out. It was kind of cruel. Mm-hmm. And it felt like... But she also identified the actual problem, mm-hmm. right? It was like she said it out loud. And then I feel like there was enough space in there, and she was scared and whatever else happened. Yeah. But I felt to me like that moment on the couch when she says, I'm fine, and Lena kind of jumps into her arms. Like, yeah. there was just something very primal about it. Like, all of the, like, the checklists they've been keeping and the mm-hmm. therapy they've been doing and all the arguments and the grudges and the we'll get back to that later to finish that argument. And it was like, none of it mattered. Mm-hmm. And it all just felt so petty. And it just went back to this, like, primal need for each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really hope, because I love that relationship. I really hope that that's where we pick up next season.
Yeah.
That they're holding on to that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, even though it would be terribly fascinating to see them break up, I feel like it would be impossible to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not, like, that's not a choice I think they're even considering.
And I hope not.
And I think their love is there, and they're both very much respectful towards each other, that it's the reason why respect is so important in a marriage, so that you can always come back from it, so that you mm-hmm. can forgive, because nothing so bad happened. And I don't think they would allow anything to bad to happen, so I think they'll be okay. It wouldn't even make sense for them to divorce.
And yet, I just have to say, it is very trendy, like, nowadays, for, like, TV shows to kill off a main character. Like, killing off this relationship would be, like, that equivalent.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I don't see a way this show moves forward without that yeah. relationship. To me, it feels like it's either. Like the beating heart of the show.
Right. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It is the, you know.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well said, the beating heart, because I think that's what it was, the last scene.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
You literally, it was as if they were placed as the heart, and then, like, oh my god, that the last scene was incredible to me, and that's when I cried yeah. the most.
And people
was them
get
in the
stronger.
Window.
People get stronger through being tested in a relationship, mm-hmm. you know. So I feel like there's this opportunity now to see where they can go. Like, we've watched them really struggle, and mm-hmm. it'll be fun to watch where they can go. It wouldn't be realistic, and no one would see themselves in this relationship if they were always happy,
right?
Yes.
Like, that would just be really boring,
exactly.
Yeah.
So as much as the fans get upset when they fight and all that stuff, I feel like it's part of why they love the show is mm-hmm, because yeah. they don't make it easy on the audience.
Yeah, totally. Which would be easy to write, just because, like, it's like, oh, we have a lesbian couple as the main characters. When does that happen? Let's make sure we love them. Mm-hmm, and it's like, yeah. okay, but like you said, always happy is not going to make that.
Right.
No, and it's also kind of, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off,
no,
but it's also kind of it would be disappointing, I think, if you finally put a lesbian character, you know, lesbian couple on TV in this very progressive show, and mm-hmm. then you're so afraid of upsetting the audience that you're now appealing to that you make them unrecognizable and not human.
You know? Just like caricatures.
These are flawed, real people in a real long marriage with kids, mm-hmm. and they're just putting that on TV. You know? And I feel like part of what we have to get to is that we're not so precious about this one lesbian relationship that there's enough of them represented in television that mm-hmm. we can just talk about them as a couple trying to raise kids.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yes. It's the way people talk about like trans representation on TV. It's like, yeah, we were in 10 TV shows and we were all like the dead hooker. Like, let's get beyond that because we want to be represented in better ways.
Yes. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It was just brilliant too as the writers to have like their on the rocks relationship juxtaposed by like the 40-year celebration of the grandparents.
Yeah. Oh my God, yes. I know.
That like the grandpa's Lena's dad's speech. Mm-hmm. It was just so like simple and perfect. And I was glad like these are writers with incredible chops. I was glad that it wasn't like rhyming couplets and like a metaphor, you know? It was just so simple.
It was.
And I'm really happy that they finished out and wrapped up the brother storyline.
Oh, yes.
With his racist comments. Like I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. And I forgot how unsettled I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was amazing.
Sherry was incredible in that.
Yes. When he was sitting down and, like, telling her how he felt, like, just without saying anything, you could see that she was so angry and yet, like, understanding at the same time, but, like, her hatred was... And you could see all of that in her play. She played it so well. It was that I felt the same way watching her do that. I was like, nailed it.
It's another example of where the writers are willing to be so complicated. Like, there's that 40-year wonderful relationship, but he was apparently like not a great dad to his son. Like, he really disappointed him. And so I feel like they never try to sell you on somebody's doing this perfectly,
right?
Because this doesn't exist. You know,
I love when Sherry's or Lena's mother goes, you know, he might have been a wonderful dad to you, but he dropped the ball with your brother. And I also liked that they showed, you know, him saying, I was mortified, and to remember that because of what our generation was grown up to, we did low blows. That's what we knew what to say. And like they said, it was a way of him attacking his father, mm-hmm. because he knew that it would hurt him. And that you have to kind of be progressive and to be able to forgive them. And I liked that's how strong both Lena and Lena's mother's character have, where they have so much love for their father that they were able to bring them together. Like, they want him to be happy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that shows how good of people they are, that they're like, no, well, we're just saying, like, no, we're going to bring you back. We're going to accept this and be okay with it, because at the end of the day, we're a family. You know, you see where Lena gets her values from.
Yeah. Right. And, like, the way they had him describe to Lena, him saying it and why he said it, I thought it was interesting to talk about, because I think everybody has had that moment where you're like in the heat of the moment and something falls out of your mouth, and the minute it falls out, you're like, oh my God, I can't take that back. I do not think that, and I can't take that back. Mm-hmm. And like the way he described it and the way it was written, I was like, oh yeah, that's
how it is.
Feel for
exactly.
you, man. That's rough. Mm-hmm.
I like that too. They directed it towards the father, because when you're a kid, no one knows how to hurt the parents like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really thought it was, like, smart to have his girlfriend back with him, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to be, like, these are, like, she's a mature person, and, like, while she didn't support it, like, she can get past it from 20 years ago.
Yes.
And I think she understands it. I thought it was nice, too, because it kind of just shows you that, not necessarily he looked up to his dad, but that's how you know he was okay with it and he was willing to be a part of it, because he fell in love with this woman. And I think it was this woman who helped him realize all these bad things. Like, I can't even be mad at my mom, my dad, because I fell in love with a woman of color as well, and it doesn't matter, and I understand. And I bet you he felt even that much more worse afterwards, because he's like, oh, why did I say that? How could I have said that? You know?
Yeah.
I could see her having helped him, the girl.
Oh,
not
yeah.
that was
think,
there.
I also think when you do something really stupid like that, you may block it out.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
You may have gone through a whole bunch of years, you know,
not even thinking about it.
And it takes someone bringing it up before you
to identify and remember it again.
Yeah. That's how I felt. It was like a ghost from his past that was
haunted him
suddenly there.
Totally. And then at the party, I have to say, I was crazy impressed by Mariana's voice.
Oh my God,
singing her song.
She was super good.
Yeah, I forgot, like, a year and a half ago, she had like a single or something on YouTube. I heard it somewhere. Her voice is so good.
Incredible.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She kind of reminds me of Amy Winehouse a little bit.
The way her, like,
because how swanky she is when she sings. She's like, it was cool because she was like, I was like, damn, girl, you're bad. Get it? Like,
I was like,
it.
Is this the next Selena, like, crossing over in the charts? It almost took me out of the scene how good her voice was.
Is it? Yeah.
Because, like we were saying, it's a very realistic show. And yet, I was like, there's a 16-year-old who can, like, sing this well. And she's not famous.
Right?
Like, and they haven't made her sing before. Nobody knew. Like, get this girl a record deal.
Exactly. The minute that scene started, I was like, wait, Jeff, is that her? Is that her? Why aren't we all talking about her in this scene?
Yeah.
Her singing in this scene. She was incredible. But instead of, like, conversations are happening, I'm like, guys, we should only be talking about her voice right now.
Yeah. From day one, we heard Brandon play the piano. I've been wanting, like, a Trap Family Band. And now I have the lead singer. No, they can do nothing else.
Well,
now.
Doesn't. Well, Maya sings too, doesn't she, in real life? Like, she plays
a
guitar.
She was
but...
in a Teen Beach movie.
Oh, yeah.
Teen Beach movie. I still haven't seen that.
Bring Lou back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They could all, you know, they're going to have to do a musical episode.
Yeah. Matt, he's crazy talented, Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all are. These are
It's annoying. And they're beautiful. It's annoying.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Hey, Do you sing too?
No.
Oh.
After meeting Jordan, it was funny to go back and watch. I watched the last episode from the middle of it again so that I could watch through. And he's such a good actor. So it was just like crazy because, I mean, not often do you meet someone who is nothing like themselves in person. But I was sure he was going to fall for her when she started singing. I thought, but no. And that's why he's like, I wouldn't be able to figure her either. Because he was hinting. He hinted.
Yeah.
He didn't forgive her. That's it. Sorry, well, Mariana.
I actually liked that exchange between them, even though after he was like, no, I'm just happy you are done beating yourself up over it. The minute he walked out, I was like, well, now she's going to beat herself up over it again. That didn't...
They're not re-breaking up. It's fine.
No, that was sad, but it's true. I mean... That's a lot. That's what sucks. You have to suffer your own consequences, make mistakes, and you learn from them, and they hurt.
Who knows what will happen, you know?
Yeah, it's not the end of him. He'll still be around.
Let's hope. Bring that band back. School's starting soon.
Mm.
I love music.
That's right.
Bring
Archie or go to tour.
Yeah.
He'll probably sleep with someone and be like, oh, wow, it really is nothing, and be like, I'm sorry. Can we get back together now?
Oh, God. Please. That would be kind of sad, though. That'd be like...
He'd be like, what? No, I don't want to be with you. No, she couldn't. Sorry. Even Stevens.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but we have to have a genre update.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're back together, they're holding hands, and they're splitting apart.
Mm-hmm.
All I could think, though, is because we haven't gotten enough genre recently, which has driven me crazy, and when, like, his dad... takes Jude home or whatever for catching them making out. I'm like, why didn't we get to see that?
Oh my God, I was like, so happy when they didn't show that, honestly.
What? I want, like, I'm like, too. I want to see everything they're doing. I
don't
want
to see
Jana all the time.
Well, I don't because I don't even want to, all I can think about is both Hayden and Gavin. I'm like, please, here's my thing though. Sorry, guys, I love Jana, but I think that if Connor does go to LA, it's better because, you know what, you gotta think about these actors outside of their roles, and that's not, I mean, who's gonna want to make out with their best friend as much as it's acting? Like, we're not gonna see more of that, I don't think. I doubt it.
I don't know. I think that because he's 2 hours away, it's gonna give a great, like, impetus to come back.
I hope so, because you can't give us that, like, first big kiss and us never see them kiss again. It's gotta be real. You gotta keep doing it.
Really?
I can't talk about Jana without crying, so I'm warning you right now. Like, I love this storyline so much. Like, so much. Like, I have a lot in common with most of the 13-year-old Foster fans. Mm-hmm. But, like, I really am crazy about them. But I really hope that they continue. I don't know how they're gonna work that out with the LA thing or if they'll have other boyfriends or whatever, but, like, that, to me, that's what the show is most significantly gonna be remembered for. Like, that's its legacy to me, because that relationship is everything. I don't know, I think it is literally changing people's lives and
absolutely
giving people hope, and every time they're on screen I'm happy. Like, I don't care what they're doing.
Right. I don't care either. I don't think it's necessary for us to see them be too physical though.
Yeah. Well,
but more so than a girl and a boy.
No,
I just think that, but like you said, it's the whole age thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to be clear. It's not because it's too good.
Yeah, it's not because it's too good. Just so because they're under 18.
I just want to see everything they do, though. I just want their relationship to be so much more than it has been the past few episodes. I want to see their relationship all the time in the episode.
You know, okay, I'll tell you, I'll make this quick, but I saw a documentary about gay teens called Same Difference, one that comes out into a loving community that, like, is doing incredibly well, one who comes out into a not loving community and commits suicide at 15.
Ugh. Right.
And it tracks these two families and these two boys and their lives, and it was incredible.
And one of the boys killed himself.
So one of the boys is gone, and it's his family remembering him. So the other boy who's alive and doing incredibly well, his name is Graham Taylor, and he's, like, been on The Ellen Show, and he's incredibly successful. He has this amazing line in the film about, you know, when someone says they're gay, even at, like, 9 or 10, we associate it with sex. We start thinking about sex. Mm. But a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 13-year-old, whatever, they're thinking about love. They're not thinking about sex. Like, for them, they're just falling in love.
Right.
And to me, that's what the genre storyline is doing so well. It's like there's these moments where, like, with everybody else, you got to talk about condoms, you got to do the birds and the bees thing, but, like, it's those two boys falling in love. It's them holding hands and them slow dancing.
I hate you. Get off this show right now.
That's amazing.
I love that.
It's true. And we don't do that to a 13-year-old girl that has a crush on a boy. We don't make her start thinking about sex. We just say, oh, you have a crush. It's so sweet. And we need to find the space, I think, to do that for gay teens.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
Me too.
So beautiful.
Damn, you're right, though. You really don't think about that. I mean, I remember when I fell for my first guy.
Right.
I didn't think about anything like that. I was just like, oh, my husband.
I want to be around him. Like,
I'll be with you forever.
And
can
at that
we hold
age,
hands?
If you are kissing, it's a peck.
Right.
You know?
Right? You don't know what you're doing?
No.
I thought I did everything with my first peck. I was like, I'm a woman. I was so proud.
That's an amazing example. What is the name of the documentary again?
Same Difference.
Same Difference.
I saw it at a film festival, and I don't think it has distribution yet, but everyone should look out for them. I know they're on Twitter and Facebook, and it is the Jude and Connor documentary about kids like that, and I know all the Foster fans would love it. It's really moving.
That's a great recommendation. Yeah. And Johnner did end with an I love you.
Oh my god. And then just like hugging. Oh god, it was just so cute.
No, but you know what? I did love the I love you. And you see, I like those precious moments, like where they're sitting in the court and he looks at it and he grabs his hand. Like, I love that. That is enough. And that is, there's exactly the love that they're talking about. Like, at the end of the day, they're just comfortable. And even when they were setting the tables up, you really just saw. And I like that they don't focus on the sex and stuff like that, because that has nothing to do with anything.
Right.
We just want to see their interactions and why they love each other.
Right.
Very briefly, guys, what do we think about Jesus coming back?
No, I'm emotional about that.
I have some frustrations, so, you know, I'm just gonna...
Wait, what are your frustrations?
Well, he was just like, I felt weird, and it was just, you know, I don't know, it made me really feel weird, and he was really giddy and so tall.
And which then, I love that they were like,
you're so tall! Exactly, me too. And it was just weird, but then he was doing some things that was good to cater to how Jake played Jesus. But
he's naturally going to play him differently. Like, just
I know.
Because they're two different people.
Yeah.
And he's going to bring a different...
He is.
He's
so
going to play that character differently.
You
and
see,
that,
but I
that's
really
what bothers
appreciate
me.
That they did not cast a Jake replica.
Mm.
He has a vague resemblance. Personality-wise, doesn't seem like it. I'm really happy to see him, because this family would be, like, just, like, broken without
Jesus.
Right.
And that would take over the entire show. And I'm glad that they just replaced him. I think that's a really bold move.
It is. And I'm sure that, like, as his character develops in the next season, like, I'm sure that I will love him, and I will love what that guy does.
Because his chemistry has to build with everyone.
Yes.
I think I just feel tension already. And I'm like, hold on, you're just really new. I'm sorry, guy.
Yeah.
I know. I think we should skip predictions just for a brief moment. Let's hear, Annika, what else do you have coming up? Anything you could share with us?
Well, there's a film that just premiered at this festival called Fantasia in Montreal. That's like a genre festival. It's called Anguish, and it seems to be doing really well. So I'm hoping that'll be out soon and everyone will get to see it. And it's really, really wonderful psychological thriller with three female leads. And
daring.
It is. It's very cool. So that's coming. And I have a film that's out and available called Grace that I'm very proud of with Sharon Lawrence, that if anyone wants to watch, it's about a young alcoholic who hits bottom and four days of considering recovery. It's sort of about that moment when somebody might actually become sober, but it's sort of about the moment of recognizing that you have a problem. So
that's
it's a very
awesome.
Small, you know, window.
And you play Grace.
I do,
That sounds like quite a difference from Monty.
Yes, it couldn't be more different. Like, Monty would be
horrified.
Nice. And where can we find
Grace? Grace should call Monty.
Where could we find Grace at?
It's available. You can, it's like VOD and DVD and streaming and all that
That's
stuff.
Awesome.
Nice. E1 is that distributed it. So it's out there. And,
nice.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that one. So if someone wants to check that out, I would love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to say, I saw that you were in Sessions.
Yes.
I love Sessions.
Oh, I'm so glad you saw it.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things I've ever been part
really?
Of. It was incredible.
That was the Helen Hunt, John Hawks movie.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to rewatch it.
I was certain after I saw it that John Hawks was going to win the Oscar for it.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. He was great.
And then I just was like famished, not famished, flabbergasted. I was flabbergasted the whole Oscar season. I was like, why is he not getting the recognition?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
But, you know, partly that there's a lot of politics around awards and stuff, and John's like an actor's actor, and he's not the guy that's going to like play all those games all that well, which is part of what I love so much about him. But I think that's the best performance I've ever seen up close.
Oh, amazing. It was so long ago I saw it. Which character did you play?
Yeah, I'm the girl that he falls in love with in the beginning. Like, the nurse that he's sort of
in
love with that breaks his heart, and then I come back at the...
Yeah, and then he gets...
Oh, my gosh, I completely remember.
Okay, don't talk about it.
Oh, so you're the impetus for him going to therapy.
Yeah, it's based on a couple of real people who Mark O'Brien fell in love with.
Oh, and, I love...
Yeah, no, it's a really wonderful film. If anybody hasn't seen it, I love that film. It was made by a family, and it's like the best indie story ever.
Yeah, I hated that it was known as like the one where Helen Hunt's naked, because I was like, it's not what this movie's about.
I know.
Oh, I really want to watch it.
It was a wonderful movie.
It's really cool. Talk about dealing with sex, but not making it like glamorous and sexy. It's like a very real movie about sex.
Ooh,
and, like,
nice.
It just isn't. It's very European that way. It doesn't feel like it's trying to.
So, like, very raw, right?
And yeah, raw.
Nothing
real.
Extra, just real, those 5 minutes.
Oh my god. Well, thank you for joining us
today.
That
was so fun.
You were incredibly insightful.
Yes. Wow. Thank you, God. You're so like our little Hayden. He's the one who he is officially one of the AfterBuzz guest hosts. Like,
I
love
Hayden.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's great.
He's like a little Buddha.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I met him the first day, and he was the first one to walk up to me and shake my hand, and I was like,
I love him.
He's wonderful. Where can everybody find you online if they
Twitter? I have Annika_Marks as my Twitter handle, and I'm on Facebook as official Annika Marks.
Awesome. What about you, Hannah?
Y'all can find me on Instagram and Twitter at @thehotshotdude.
And you can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie, and on Instagram at @TheStephanieGeorgie.
And I tweet from Jeff Masters 1. Guys, we'll see you next season.
Foster's
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.